"It is well with my soul." What a powerful statement. And it speaks to confidence. It speaks to a condition of not only contentment, but a condition that speaks to service and doing what was asked of a person. It is well with my soul. So if it's possible to have a soul that's well, it's possible to have a soul that's sick. And thank God we know the great physician. And so this morning, we will spend a few minutes, because we got a full day. The brothers have a training meeting. We got a brief meeting after service for those that are attending the retreat. But we want to just say good morning once again. And we'll be very timely, we'll be very concise with three basic points we want to make today. And our lesson today, as well as this evening, is running the race. We make athletic illustrations just about every Sunday. But having said that, running the race. Our lesson text comes to us from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to keep this scripture up throughout this lesson. And we're going to ask you to take note on most occasions. And with the power outage, we made some adjustments today. So you have to turn. Imagine that. You have to turn in your Bible. Find the scriptures that we call. Or on your phone. Or just. We want you to take good notes. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. The Hebrew writer records, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." On Wednesday night, we made reference to this scripture because Brother Rick and I, we ran track in Ohio, track and cross country. And part of the training was from time to time, coach would weigh us down. You know, it's ankle weights, and sometimes even wrist weights. So you wait, you're going to run up a hill, down a hill, backwards. They had to run backwards up hills as well and down. And we had weights. So when we took those weights off and we ran the race, we thought we were the fastest man in the world because we were able to run with weights on. If you can't follow me on that athletic illustration, let's try this one. Let's say, anybody know what a wheelbarrow is? Okay, well, it's something you put stuff in. That was a deep definition, wasn't it? So you got a wheelbarrow, and you got, you know, it's got two wheels on it, and you're going up a hill, right? Imagine trying that with the brakes on. Load it up and then put the brakes on. You may move forward, but you're not going to move forward as quickly, as swiftly, as efficiently as if you take the brakes off with no resistance, if you will. So Hebrew writer is saying, if you're going to run, understand a couple of basic things in this one verse. We're surrounded by those who want you to win. Just whenever you start thinking that you're all alone and that, you know, again, nobody knows what I'm going through, that's the devil's greatest device. Doubt. Don't doubt yourself. So the Hebrew writer says, seeing we are surrounded, compassed about, translate that, surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? You go back just one chapter. The Hebrew writer, it's one epistle, it's one letter, but it's the Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. The Hebrew writer goes through an itemization, a listing, a chronology of those who have been faithful to the Lord. And imagine, you know, people talk about who's your Mount Rushmore. You know, again, in basketball, people are like, who's the GOAT? Who's the greatest of all time? And if you don't have the letters M and J, then I'm going to just pray for you. If you got that, you got it. But when it comes to the greatest of all time, truly, it is JC. Jesus the Christ. And so the Hebrew writer is saying, you're going to run this race, but you need to understand a couple things. If you are to compete, and ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, see, you're going to either compete on the team or you're going to compete off the team. There's no in between. Now, I want to be a Christian. You either are a Christian or you are not. And I say this not from a position of we're better than anybody else, and I'm not saying that at all. But if you're going to compete against the devil, you better be on the right team. Seeing we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, imagine the Faith Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore, saying, you can do it. Insert your name. I'm going to insert my own. Gail, go ahead. Hang in there, brother. Oh, it may get tough sometimes. Hang in there, Brother Larry. We've done it. You can too. So if you're taking notes, first note you want to take is there are those who've been faithful to God and that their names are listed in the quote-unquote Mount Rushmore by faith, saying you can do it too. Do you believe that? Two. So one, recognize that we have support, and we have that today with one another, fellowship. So if you want to isolate yourself, you're playing right into the devil's hands. Let me say that again. When you get to the point where you don't want to be around anybody, you are playing into the devil's hands. Isn't that something when they take you out of the general correctional context now, when they take you out of general population and isolate you, that's a form of punishment. And yet when we get in our feelings, we're going to isolate ourselves. I'm putting myself in solitary confinement. I'll show you. Wow. I'm not going to fellowship with you. I'll show you. You're hurting yourself. So, one, we have support. Amen, if you got that. Two, we got to get rid of some of this excess weight. Now, what that weight is for you, what that weight is for me, may be two different things. But some of us walking around carrying too much weight. I'm not talking about how much you weigh on a scale. Let me be clear. That's your personal thing there. I'm talking about things that get in the way of our spiritual walk. Walk means our lifestyle. Is it guilt? Is it shame? Is it envy? Is it jealousy? Is it you're just coveting things that just you don't have? Use what you have while you have it and do what you can while you can. Let us lay aside, here it is, let us lay aside every weight, burden, distraction. Weight speaks to something that is just causing you to be distracted. As you well know, Rick and I have been working in youth development, family development, juvenile justice, mentoring context for over 3 decades. And it is amazing. I've used this phrase a lot. The letters, ACE, adverse childhood experiences. Some of you act like you act as an adult because of what you experienced as a child. Let it go. You can't change the past. We've had to mentor a young man, I'm going to keep it very general, who was sexually abused, went to a comic book store, but he went back to that store and killed that man in cold blood who abused him. And then they sent him to us. So don't tell me you're going to come up with something. You don't know what I'm dealing with, brother. Yes, we do. We can talk about anything. You need to understand, as Christians, that we can talk about anything. We helped that young man. Rick, you know what I'm talking about. Ended up doing, he was held accountable with the law. Then at some point, they sent him to us. Get this boy right. So y'all think y'all a trip? Y'all easy. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, if you're walking around with some weight, today's the day to let it go. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us. What does that mean? Doth so easily beset us in the King James Version. That can throw us off track. It's like trying to bowl and you're living in the gutter. Y'all pray for me in this gutter. Get out of the gutter. It's like you're running track. Let's use the track and field illustration. You're off the track, not even in lanes 1 through 8 on an Olympic-sized track. You're over here in lane 9. There is no lane 9. Y'all pray for me. I'm just trying to get my life right. Why don't you get on track? And then we can talk. You get all these athletic illustrations? I'm trying to go athletic and non-athletic, but it's very difficult. But my point is, get out of the gutter of guilt and shame and whatever it is. Let us lay aside. Put it aside. Take off the weights. And it is amazing. You ever try running up a hill with a 10-pound and a 10-pound? That's 20 pounds. Put a 5 and a 5. That's another 10 pounds. 30 extra pounds, and you're going to run up the hill with a coach with a whistle saying, let's go. Now, you can at least smile, coach, but we have one of the best coaches ever that trained us. But this mentality When you take those 30 pounds off, you fly up that hill. And you get into a race, you're passing people. You're like, thank you, coach. It hurt during the run. It hurt during the training. But we can make it. And so the third point, and we're going to expound on this, is let us run. If you recognize we got plenty of support, if we get rid of the excess weight, whatever that weight is for you, you know you better than anybody. So when you look in that spiritual mirror and say, here's what I got to get rid of. Here's what I'm dealing with. Anger. You know, doubting myself. Get rid of that. And the final point, not our final point of the lesson, but final point of this slide. Let us run. Now you can take off. Let us run with, here we go, patience. I should have put this word on the screen, the Greek word. Sometimes you see it with an H, sometimes you see it with a U, but it's pronounced upomene. All right, U-P-O-M-E-N-E, U-P-O-M-E-N-E, upomene, U-P-O-M-E-N-E. Upo means under, mene means to remain. Let me give the breakdown down again. Upo in the Greek means to be under, mene means to remain. So in the midst of a trial, in the midst of tribulation, I can remain steadfast under pressure. Y'all got that? I don't think you do. Brothers, read Hebrews 12 and 1. It's on the screen, but I want to just do this again. I don't think I... Good morning. Hebrews 12 and 1. Read it one more time. It's on the screen. Read it, brothers.
Wherefore, seeing...
Come on. Seeing, understanding. See, spiritual sight is not... You know, again, I got two things in my eyes that make you all look much clearer. They're called contact lenses. Seeing, spiritual sight, Ephesians 1 and verse 18, speaks to understanding. So seeing, understanding, read.
We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
When we understand that we are surrounded by a cheering section telling you, Miguel, you can make it, brother. Maria, you can make it, sister. Juan Victor, you can make it, brother. No matter what's going on. Understand that. Seeing. Spiritual sight is understanding. Ephesians 1 and 18 is your reference point. Put that in your notes. Understanding that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Come on.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us.
Why would you put the brakes on when people are cheering you to the finish line? Why would you put the brakes on? Why would you say, you know, you don't understand, but, you know, the way they treated me 10 years ago, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon and, you know, 5 o'clock in the evening and it was temperature was 77 degrees. Why do we remember details like that when somebody wronged you? Because we can't let it go. I remember the day you did that to me. Let it go. If you are to tell me right now, nice suit, Gail. Thank you. I'm just example. Nice shoes, but I don't like the tie. What am I going to focus on? What's wrong with my tie? That's the way we're human beings. We sometimes gravitate to the negative. We default to the negative. So remember, just encourage one another. And sometimes, you know, remember this, if you have nothing good to say, just don't say anything. If the sermon didn't speak to you, just say, brother, have a nice day. Because sometimes I don't hear from some of y'all until it's something that you just don't like. I remember that. That's kind of interesting. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, God wants us all to be saved. If I got issue, I'm just Sister Jennifer. I'm crazy about Jennifer. If I got issue with Jennifer, I'd like, tell me, sister. And let's get it behind us so we can make it to heaven. So one, understand that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, so those who support us. Two, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us. Give me that last part, then I gotta hurry up.
And let us run with patience.
Run with patience.
The race that is set.
The race that
us.
Is set before us. I think I've hit this nail enough times for hopefully you to understand it. What does it look like when we finish the race? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Come on, brothers. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, run over there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, everybody turn over there, please. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, I want verses 7 and 8. What does it sound like when you recognize you're supported, when you lay aside every weight and every sin which easily distracts us, throws us off track, puts us in the gutter, we're outside of our lane, and there's two letters you never want to hear in track and field, DQ, and I'm not talking Dairy Queen. If coach says that you're one of our teammates, one of your teammates was DQ'd, that means he was disqualified. And many of you saw the most recent Olympic Games in Paris. You had to qualify to get into the main race. So if you're disqualified, you don't even have a chance. And so what does it sound like when you do what we need to do? 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, has this to say. Read.
I have fought the good fight.
I have fought the good fight.
I have finished my course.
I have fought the good fight. It won't be easy. This is spiritual warfare. When people teach all kinds of things contrary to the word of God, we have to contend for the faith. There's only one church in the Bible. Marriage is between a man and a woman. We got to stand on God's word. It won't be popular. People are going to talk about you, but you got to stand on God's word. But if you want to be liked, then you're going to compromise. If you want to be politically correct, then you will compromise. I will say this right in that camera that's looking at me, and I'm looking right back at it. We will stand on God's word. We love mankind. We love humanity, but we must not compromise what God's word says. I have fought the good fight. Come on.
I have finished my course.
I have finished my course. In other words, I have run the race. I've stayed on track. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Read.
I have kept the faith.
I have kept the faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1. Stay there, brother. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance, the essence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. So the proof, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So basically, we got to be people of substance. That means we can't be phony. Let me show you a phony smile. I'm going to try to do it. I practiced in the mirror, Larry, but it didn't work. Like, you ever had somebody smile at you in a phony way? I can't even do it. I'm not even going to try it. Forget that part. Don't be phony. If you have something that's bothering you, Jesus told us, you take it to that brother or sister. Get rid of it. Lay it aside. And then let's move on. Amen, saints. Because the world does that every day. I was talking to my daughter, and she's interning and she's doing all this other stuff. And she was saying, man, people are just kind of phony. I said, welcome to the real world, baby. It's like acting. You know, the word hypocrite is basically a Greek word that speaks to like someone that's on a theater. That's what the word hypocrite means. They act a certain way, but deep down inside is something else. I have finished. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, what's there to be? So when you think about the Olympic Games, there is a gold, silver, and bronze. You go to the podium, if you will, right? So is this a competition with us? Read verse 8, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Here we go.
Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness.
See, Paul says there's henceforth, because of my finishing the course, because I kept the faith, because I fought a good fight, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But look at this, folks. It doesn't stop there. May we not think that we're competing with one another. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Read.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day.
So we will be judged by a standard. That's our next point. A standard of righteousness, which the Lord God will give me in that day. But again, so he's the only one that's going to get it? Read.
And not to me only.
Ah, here it is. Listen, saints. And not to me only.
But unto all them also that love his appearing.
All them also that love his appearing. And Paul's encouragement is, give me verse 9, do what?
Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me.
We will say this to the brethren. We will say this to the congregation on October 6th. Be the Lord's will in our congregational meeting. We need to be more diligent. Paul says, I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I fought a good fight. As a result of that, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which a righteous judge shall give, but not to me only, but to everybody that loves his appearing. So do thy diligence. So do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Do what you have to do. Diligent. See, I like that. I like those L-Y words. Our old English teacher, old school English teacher, would make us say all those L-Y words. We were in school in Ohio. Adverbs is how you do it. An adverb is how you do it. Don't do it haphazardly. Do it diligently. Amen? Let me give you a couple more scriptures, and then this lesson will be yours. So one, we recognize the race. We recognize the support. We recognize the necessity of getting rid of the excess weight because it'll throw us off. And we recognize the fact that we have to run with hupomene. We got to run with that patience. We have to be steadfast in the midst of a trial. Steadfast in the midst of distractions and discouragement. We can still make it through. But I want us to understand that we have the best that heaven can give. See, it's one thing to talk about Hebrews 11, but do you realize who is truly in our corner? It's Jesus the Christ. Lenny, Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Who is this Jesus? Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Then we're going to Acts chapter 5, if you're taking notes. We're going to Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Then we're going to Acts 5, 30 through about verse 32. What does the Bible say in Acts 3 and verse 15? Who is this Jesus?
And killed the Prince of Life.
The Prince of Life. Read.
Whom God hath raised from the dead.
Whom God, talking about God the Father, hath raised from the dead.
Whereof we are witnesses.
Whereof we are witnesses. We recognize, and so as you think about the book of Acts and what's being stated at this time, the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, and we saw him. We are witnesses. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts the 5th chapter. Give him a second to get over there. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 30. You're going to pick up a pattern here. God, when we say God in this context, God the Father raised him, Jesus the Christ, from the dead. He is the Prince of Life. So in this, we are, as we talked last week, we're in this world, but as Christians, we're not of this world. So the Prince of Life is none other than Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. Acts 5, beginning at verse 30. Listen to the Bible.
The God of our fathers.
The God of our fathers.
Raised up Jesus.
Raised up Jesus.
Whom ye slew and hanged on a tree.
Whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. He was crucified. He was crucified. So not only as we run this race, we're surrounded by support. We need to get rid of the excess weight. Make that personal as you can. Get rid of it. But make sure we remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain, where? In the Lord. So this Jesus, Acts 5 and verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. He died on the cross for you and me. Read.
Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior.
Hold your point. See, although he died on the cross, something that you, again, criminals, the most humiliating type of death. He hung in the midst. One on a criminal on his right hand, a criminal on his left. Jesus Christ didn't deserve to be there. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Why was he there? For you and me. It was sacrifice for us. But God raised him from the dead. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 31, him hath God exalted. See, God lifted him up. Exalted with his right hand to be a what? A prince and a savior. To do what?
To give repentance to Israel.
To give repentance to Israel.
And forgiveness of sins.
There is no forgiveness without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There is no remission of sins without the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews 9:22 for your notes. There, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the Lamb of God was sacrificed, slain on the tree. Stay with that. Stay with Acts chapter 5, Brother Lenny. So he died so that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So are we witnesses? Read.
And we are his witnesses of these things.
And we are his witnesses of these things.
And so is also the Holy Ghost.
And so also is the Holy Ghost.
Whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Whom God hath given to them that obey him. If you look at Acts 5, 30 through 32, you got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you all see it there? You have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Godhead. See, there's something that's insecurity. And again, we were talking to brothers about this morning. When you triangulate something, we got you surrounded. Come out with your hands up. You ain't getting out of here. Triangulate. So what's my point? The Father loved us so much. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What is that word love? That's agape love. In spite of you and me love. But we didn't deserve a thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, black, white, rich, poor, it's not about your political party, it's not about your race or ethnicity. God loved mankind and offered up his own son, raised him up to be prince and a savior. In Acts 5 and 32, so you got the Father, you have the Son, but what about the Holy Ghost? This is important, especially for our visiting friends who are not members of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ. See, without the Holy Spirit, you are none of his. People will say, well, I love God. Lip service. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying they're insincere. Loving the Father is great. But when he loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son. We have to obey God. Acts 5 and verse 32, just hitting it one more time for emphasis' sake. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. You must obey the gospel. Because when you obey the gospel, Acts 2 and 38, read it, brother. Go over to Acts 2, 38. Don't take my word for it. Don't let somebody just preach to you and not give you book, chapter, and verse. We'll go to Acts 2 and verse 38 to be clear. Because you got Acts 3 and 15. We've talked about that. He is the prince of life. Acts 5, 30 through 32. God raised him up to be prince and savior. Savior means he delivers us from our sins. There is no forgiveness without his shedded blood. Hence, he was crucified. And when we obey that death, burial, and resurrection, those are the facts of the gospel, we receive the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you're none of his. Acts 2:38, read.
Then Peter said unto them, repent.
Repent.
And be baptized.
And be baptized.
Every one of you.
Just some of you.
Everyone.
Every one of you. Why?
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ.
For the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, visiting friends. It is very important we understand. You can't have the Father. You can't please the Father unless you go through the Son. You cannot receive the Holy Ghost unless you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me make my final point. So I hope you understand. One, there's a performance standard. That performance standard is Jesus Christ. We will never, ever meet the threshold of outdoing God. That's why we need his grace. He gave us his grace. He extended it. The grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared to all men. But we're going to need his mercy in the end. And so God the Father recognizes that we have to be coachable. Any athlete has to be coachable. There are those that have a lot of talent, but are you coachable? Are we coachable? Can somebody tell you something? Can we just stop and listen and say, you're right, I need to be better. Hebrews chapter 2. Go to Hebrews 2. I'm going to give you two more verses, and that the lesson will be yours. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm faster than the clock today. This is interesting. So I was prepared for that emergency management sermon, so now I will still stay within that context. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Hebrews, the second chapter, and verse 9. As we think about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us, see, Jesus is that standard of greatness. We talked about the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Look no further than Jesus Christ. We talked about the support that we have. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. But we want to make sure at the end of the day that we recognize not only what Jesus did for us, but how God wants us to be coachable. So the Bible, let's go to Hebrews 2, beginning verse 9. Listen.
But we see Jesus. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
He was made a little lower than the angels. He became flesh. Angels are celestial. Celestial. No flesh and blood. He was made a little lower than the angels. So don't let anybody take you on some wild goose chase, some spiritual scavenger hunt. We need to preach more about angels. Okay. What do you want to know about an angel? They're basically celestial messengers. God sent them to perform his will. Then Hollywood's going to really have some of y'all going crazy when it was touched by an angel. Angel came down here, fell in love, they had babies. How can that be? Some of y'all watch too much TV. When Touched by an Angel was on with Della Reese, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. At that time, people were like, brother, can we preach more on angels? What do you want to know, sister? You're looking for a man, now you're going to settle for an angel? Stop that! Celestial messengers. That's why in the book of Revelation, to the angel of the church, to the angel of the church, they were sent, they were messengers. But the Bible says God made him a little lower than the angels. Hebrews chapter 2, you still there? Verse 9, and why did God the Father do that? For the suffering of death. He had to taste death as a man in the flesh. Put an angel on the cross? No, they don't have flesh and blood. There's no remission without the shedding of blood. Christ had to become flesh for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We have a Savior who has been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So don't tell the lie the devil wants us to tell. Nobody understands me. Christ was in the flesh. He died for us. Read verse 10.
For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory.
So in other words, through Christ, it became for him and by him that we have salvation. That's why, watch this next word. It's a C word, because on every team, you have some, those that have a C on their jersey. You know what the C stands for? Captain. So, yes, best in, so basically an extension of the coach. So ultimately, it was a father's plan, his agape love. But now he put a C on one person. A C. Christ. But listen, we'll keep reading this verse, because Hebrew writers in rare form. The Hebrew writer is going to tell you who the captain of our soul is. And it's not John the Baptist. It's not Elijah Muhammad. It's not Mother Teresa. It's not Martin Luther King. It's not Barack Obama. It is no man on this earth. No woman on this earth. There's only one who can save your soul. He is the captain of our soul. Keep reading, brother, before I preach to midnight. Come on.
To make the captain.
Oh, my goodness. So watch this now. You understand the context now. He became, God made him a little lower than the angels so that he could provide, to taste death for every man. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons unto glory. You don't come to God, to the Father, unless you go through Jesus Christ. He brought many sons unto glory. Amen. To make, read it again. Give me that C word.
To make the captain.
Come on.
Of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
Jesus Christ was faithful unto death, and he is the captain of our soul. Now, there's guess what? Now, some of you D9 folks, you're talking about, you know, Invictus. I'm the master of my faith. I'm the captain of my soul. Watch your mouth. Jesus Christ is a captain. You talk about spiritual things. I know you can be motivational things. People are like, I'm the captain of my soul. Okay, be careful. Because Christ, some of you knew what I just did there, some of you don't, that's all right. Jesus Christ is the captain. He's the one with the C on the quote-unquote jersey. And Heavenly Father is the best trainer money can buy. Because you can't buy your salvation. What did the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So as we wrap this up, the question is, are you coachable? We're giving you all the tools you need. Even if you're not an athlete, you can still run this race. Amen? Well, I don't know, brother. You can get up and run. In other words, live. You can run this race. And again, one of the things that's important, that's why we have to, as we were debating some folks here recently, just having a spiritual discussion, but it turned into a debate. Be careful with some of these religious titles. Because we stay in Hebrews 2. Now give me the verse 11. Give me that last verse there. Then we'll close out. Hebrews chapter 2, give me verse 11. Watch this.
For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one.
Sanctification is the word, the process of being set apart. Get it in your notes. Sanctification. Don't be afraid of religious words, biblical terms. Sanctification, the process of being set apart. What sets us apart? We just read it in context. The Holy Spirit. Because if you read Romans 8, Paul says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are none of his. What separates a child of God from a non-Christian? The Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? You must believe in the Father. How do you please the Father? You got to obey the Son. You have to obey the gospel. Amen. And so both he that sanctifieth, the one who sets us apart, and those who are sanctified, that's those who have been set apart, are all of one. No denominations in the Bible. One. Read.
For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
He is not ashamed to call them brethren. That's why don't ever, and I hear people do it, Reverend, no, it's brother. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. No more, no less. Brothers and sisters in Christ. It's only one that's holy and reverent. That's why there's a reverend in the Church of Christ. Holy and reverent. See where I'm pointing? It's his name. We're all your brethren. And so the seed is the word of God. As we close, the seed is the word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. But you know what's interesting? We have to be careful that that seed falls on good ground. We have to be coachable. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, the seed that fell on good ground brought forth much fruit. The seed is the word of God. How did it land today? How did it land with you today? Is that ground, and I'm talking about this, see what I'm doing? Is that ground so hard that nothing can get through right now? I hope and pray that it's not. You got to have fertile ground, because Jesus Christ said very plainly that you don't take my life, I give it. Gail, do me the honors of reading John 10, 17 and 18. Give me that last one, training wheels. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. Listen to this. Listen to our master, the captain, song leader, come on, the captain of our soul, the prince of life, the prince and savior, Jesus Christ, who hung, bled, and died on the cross at Calvary. And I'm going to put the plan of salvation up there before I take my seat so you know what you must do in order to be saved. Now, I tell you what, in the National Football League, there's 32 teams, some better than others. Amen. Only one will be crowned with a Lombardi trophy. I pray it's a different team. You know what I want. Y'all can see a grown man cry if that happens. But nevertheless, let's stay focused. We all can be crowned. We all can be crowned. And listen to the sentiment of Jesus. As we think, read this last verse. I call for John chapter 10. It's what I want. Give me 17 and 18, brother. Read.
Therefore, doth my Father love me.
Jesus says, doth my Father loves me. Talking about God the Father loves me. Read.
Because I lay down my life.
Jesus says, because I lay down my life.
That I might take it again.
That I might take it again. I will die. I will taste death for every man, but my life, I will be resurrected. Read.
No man taketh it from me.
No man taketh it from me. You didn't take my life. Read.
But I lay it down of myself.
I lay it down of myself. I went willingly. I'm going back. I went to the cross willingly for each and every one of you. You didn't take my life. Laid it down. Read.
I have power to lay it down.
I have power to lay it down.
And I have power to take it again.
I have power to take it again.
This commandment have I received of my Father.
Have I received from my Father. So if you're here today, I pray to God that something was said to encourage you if you are a child of God. And I pray that something was said if you're outside the body, the Church of Christ, recognize this. On an Olympic-sized track, there are eight lanes. There are eight lanes. You know what's interesting about a race? Let's say you have the 400 meters. There's going to be a stagger. You're going to start at different places on the track, but you got to run the same distance. And what am I saying here? So you may come to Christ early. Many of you here might have grown up. If you say, grew up in the church, well, that means your family were Christians and you were taught and you were baptized. That's our story. Some of you might have come on later. Oldest person I've ever baptized was 81 years old. Sister Brown, Coconut Grove, she was flying to Israel trying to find the Holy Land. I said, you can find Christ right here in Coconut Grove. You can go travel wherever. It's beautiful to travel, but you can be baptized right now. Took her to the Word of God. She was like, Lord, have mercy. I thought I had to go there in order to just get some water, do something. I said, just listen to the Bible. The plan of salvation I taught her and the plan of salvation we all can teach is right on your screen. You must hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is God's power to save. The only power God uses to save mankind, Romans 1, 15 and 16. The only power God uses to save mankind is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? If you believe it with all your heart, you've got to hear it and believe it. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Luke 13:3-5. Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will likewise perish. Not talking about dying physically. You're going to die physically anyway. You're going to die spiritually, eternally separated from God. Are you willing to confess Christ to be the Son of God? As an Ethiopian eunuch did. See, here is water. What's holding me back from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He didn't do a sinner's prayer. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that confession, he went down in the water, not sprinkled, not poured. He was immersed, as you can be today, immersed in water for the remission of his sins. Remission means to send away. You remit a letter, and it's all the sins are washed away, as yours can be today. And he rose up to walk in a brand new way of life after being baptized. So in Acts 22:16, that scripture says, and now why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Are you ready to get in the race? Because we all run this human race, but you got to be born again. Just like you got to qualify in those Paris Olympics, you had to qualify to get into the race. Well, the race is the Christian race. And God's giving you one more time because he loves us. That love lifted up his son. And that love will allow you today, if you so choose, to become a child of God. And for those who have strayed away, need to ask for prayer, you have this opportunity as we together stand, as we together sing, Love Lifted Me.